we're done, right? Can you start in a German?
Okay, we are now recording.
All right, good morning. I'm going to call to order the Temporary Bonding Committee special meeting of Thursday, July 17th, 2025 at 10 a.m. Members present are myself, Bill Volosky, Katie Kenny, Russell Bush. Also attending are CAO Mark Penny and Finance Officer Zoe Peek. I want to open the meeting to public comment. We have no members of the public here. We'll move on to approval of the June 16th draft meeting minutes. Would anybody like to make a motion?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
It's approved unanimously. I just want to tell you, I have a couple goals, I guess, this morning.
Yeah.
Russell brought up the fact that, you know, we have a dual focus of our committee here. It's one is to improve our CIP and how the CIP is developed and presented. And then the second part of the goal is looking at future bonding, how bonding will take place, how often we should bond, and things of that nature. I guess I'd like to start this meeting this morning talking more about the CIP, try and get a framework for what we think we need to do with CIP, and then we'll, the next part of the meeting, we'll go on to bonding.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just throw out some recommendations that I put together about the CIP. Some of this is based on our experience this past year with the CIP committee. As everybody knows here, we took a really deep dive this year into how the CIP was developed, probably four times the number of meetings we've had in previous years.
Mm-hmm.
I think we came out with a pretty good product. And some of these things are things that I'd like to see us incorporate into our recommendations coming out of this committee. The first thing I have here is that it should be a standard five-year CIP. We should prioritize low, medium, and high for each item on the CIP. We've already discussed we should have a fixed asset inventory similar to what the school system is starting to put together that has anticipated replacement schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And then the CIP should be developed from that asset schedule.
Could I just add to that?
Yep.
I mean, maybe you already have this.
Okay.
But we should also designate on that list things that we're going to be accumulating capital reserves in order to pay for. And that's part of the decision about, you know, what do we bond for, what do we pay out of operating, and what do we save up for. But one of the things I think that should be part of and integrated into the CIP plan is for which things do we build up a capital reserve that then gets spent on, you know, as for fire trucks or whatever. Maybe you
right.
have that.
Right. Yeah, because we have been doing that already with some items.
Exactly.
Like you said, specifically fire trucks, ambulance, maintenance, like the turf field at the high school, we have been accumulating.
Exactly. But what I would like us to do is be very, like, much more specific about that. And that seems like what some of the other towns have done is be, you know, there's a, in their capital planning and process, they are very specific about what kinds of things they pay for that way. And just as they keep track of the amount of money in their unassigned fund balance and report it on a regular basis, there is a capital reserve fund that is, you know, kept track of and reported on a regular basis that, like, right. everyone is, you know, knows exists. And that's one thing that has always felt like, to me as a member of the Board of Finance, we have never in my time on the board gotten a report on how much money is in a capital reserve fund for those things.
I don't know if it's really itemized out in any way like that.
Not that I know of. It's just kind of the balance of capital projects.
Right, okay. But it that's what I'm saying, is that other towns have this very specifically designated,
yeah.
And it is a fund,
yeah.
That, like, money is being put into, it's being invested, it's like...
Mm-hmm. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying, like, for the field, we have a $2 million dollar goal, and we're at $1.8 million.
Exactly, and we watch it grow when we put the money in for that thing, and when we take money out because we're buying a new fire truck, we see that money come out, and it's, like, all completely, you know, mm-hmm. visible to everybody.
So that should be accounted for separately.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's still part of the CIP, but it'll be more clearly.
Yeah, there's an operating portion of CIP, which we all also know about,
because
that comes out of our regular operating budget.
Which is the annual kind of stuff.
Yep, exactly.
Right.
And then there's there's a capital reserve fund that money gets paid into in order to accumulate enough to buy certain things or pay for certain things, but we actually see that, and we have reports on it, and we know, you know, it might even be earning interest while it's sitting there.
The unfortunate part about that, the last couple of years of the budget, because we had such tight budgets over the last 2 to 3 years, we didn't put money in the high school field maintenance fund. At least last year, we didn't put any money in for fire trucks last year, because again we end up shrinking the CIP so much. So
that's where I agree with you, Katie.
You can make that a policy that it's required.
Right.
I mean, you know, you don't
have to. I think.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of what you know, when I am talking about and looking at the policies in other towns, you know, you can specifically say, like, this, once this is in a certain category, this amount has to be put in for this, right? Like,
and you're not starting your budget at zero.
And this is a policy, right, this is a policy that has been adopted by both, you know, in that case, it would have to be adopted by both the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Finance. And it is, that's a starting point. And another thing I noticed in one of the other towns' policies is contingency fund. Mm-hmm. The budgeted amount, so they set, because this is looking at the unassigned fund balance and saying what level is it going to be at. Towns set those at different places. Ours, we tend to be pretty stuck on the idea that we don't want it going below 15%. That 15% number in the town I was looking at yesterday, they said you have to predict what you think, you know, the demands on a contingency fund are going to be for the coming year in terms of retirements or whatever it is. You must come up with a number for that. It must be in the budget. And that amount has to be included in what's in your unassigned fund balance so that paying it out doesn't take you below 15%. Therefore, if it would take you below 15%, either it has to be in a contingency fund line item made by the Board of Selectmen, or we would take it upon ourselves to say we're funding our unassigned fund balance line, the Board of Finance is, to get it above the amount that you've predicted for the coming year for those needs. And you can't, if you don't, you can't come ask for that. Right?
I agree with what you're saying about contingency fund. And again, that's something that, you know, we tried to make at least an effort to put a contingency fund back in this year.
But it wasn't based on a realistic assessment of what the expectation was for the coming year.
Right.
it started off way too high and it went down to way too low.
Right.
Like way too low.
Like I said, I agree with what you're saying about the contingency, but I think it's a little outside the scope of
our
committee.
It absolutely is. But the problem is that it's linked to things that are part of our committee, which are these making policies and then saying we're sticking to this policy. We're voting on the policies themselves, and then the policies become non-negotiable at budget time. And that's the only way you get it to work when people are like, ow, that hurts when it's budget time, right? Like,
right.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, no, we can add that into our recommendations. So
yeah.
You're right. I have just a couple other CIP ideas here that I want to just float and make sure that everybody's kind of comfortable with. We talked at our last meeting a little bit about having the department heads present and propose their CIP requests at least 1 month prior to the actual budget requests. So they can work on those ahead of time. They can spend more time really zeroing in on, you know, what the requests are and things like that. I think, unfortunately, the CIP sometimes gets overlooked by some of our department heads. Mm-hmm. Because they're more worried about their operating budget, that they're, you know, and that, oh yeah, by the way, we need X amount for such and such for a new boiler, let's say, or whatever. But they're worried about their day-to-day budget rather than the CIP. Another thing I also thought about in terms of estimating for the CIP, again, it should be a five-year CIP, but maybe each year the department heads want to update the costs for, let's say, the following year's CIP. Mm-hmm. You know, if they know already that, you know, a $200,000 dump truck this year is going to be $225,000 next year,
mm-hmm.
they should put that in, you know, build that into the CIP so that, you know, we have good estimates going into the, like, the second year and, you know, down the pike on the estimates. So that's kind of what I have for CIP.
Yeah, that's
CIP stuff. Are we missing anything, or anybody have any other ideas about CIP?
Yeah, I would just say it does seem like other towns, you know, with CIP and capital planning in general, you know, part of the policy, and we've totally talked about this before, but just have really pretty clear policies or guidelines about the different kinds of spending, like what's going to be CIP out of operating, what's going to be CIP out of capital reserve or whatever you want to call it that gets built up over time and then spent on certain things, and what's appropriate for bonding. And I think having guidelines about those things that help people distinguish. And when we're doing that, the other piece, of course, is saying, you know, there's not just us bonding, there's going after state bonding, there's going after grants, there are other ways to find money for bigger projects.
Right. So state grant or something
would
come in that would...
Yeah, that would help with something. Or, I mean, we ended up getting some state bonding money for Mills Pond, right? Late in the game, or did we?
I think we did not get.
Did not get.
What did we get?
I applied.
Eleni got.
I thought there was a last minute $300,000.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Eleni got us $300,000 from Mills
Pond. I got told we got denied, and then potentially there is money there that came out. I don't have anything tangible to say because I put in for two grants. We were denied, but there was last minute, I think, discussion before legislation was over for the session that potentially gave us maybe $300,000. Is that what Kev said?
Yeah.
Can you follow that up maybe with Eleni and see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was something that she got.
I thought so.
She found.
Yeah, me, because I had requested.
Yeah.
So if you thought it was 300K, that's what I thought it was. Or
for Mills Pond, yeah. But you can, you know, you can still have a, you know, and we've started to do this, right? We've said, we used to say anything under 10K was operating and within the budgets of the, you know, and town or schools.
We increased that to 25. Yeah.
But we can also be talking about, you know, categories of spending or categories of CIP that are still expected to be operating CIP but operating, CIP but capital reserve, and CIP, or, you know, in the CIP, because we want to see it all in one place, but planning to be either bonded for by us, seek state bonding, seek other funding.
Alternative funding other than the normal the normal tax bill.
And I think the other thing to keep that that we should just have as a standard policy is for any big project, right? For anything that we would consider bonding for, we should consider going for other sources of money for. Like, it, it shouldn't necessarily be that it's going...
Should explore.
Yeah, no, we always should be looking for grant money.
Right. But, I mean, when we... the fact that, like, you know, Paul Honig reached out during the session, because he had been put on revenue and bonding, and said, this can't have anything. And, you know, we had a few conversations and got back to him and said, yeah, like, you know, Mills Pond is probably the thing that we need help with if you can get anything. But we shouldn't be getting asked by them when it's already session time. And this happened when Eleni was first put on and also got put on revenue and bonding. And she was like, quick, quick, do you have anything that's shovel ready? That time, what we ended up giving her was extension of the rail trail. We should know ahead of time, before a session, before the long session starts, particularly, but even before the short session starts, we should know ahead of time what are our projects that are important and ready to go that we already have estimates on, that we already, like, that we kind of have a description of. Because when we give it, when we ask for that from them, they need information on it. Like, you can't just say, oh, we have a pie in the sky idea. They need actual, like...
Well, for granting, you've got a couple of different approaches. I brought this up before. So you've got grants that we all know come up annually. You've got your LOSIP season. You've got everything. So we should be putting together packets that are ready to go into each of these grant cycles. And it really, and some of the department heads know them. As I mentioned before, in the last municipality I worked in, we literally had a grant administrator. Their sole function was to seek out grants, and was bringing in that $90,000 a year salary, was bringing $2 to $5 million a year. Well worth it. We don't have anything like that. We rely on department heads to hopefully understand what grants are available to them. And I agree. One is, you should know your season, when it's coming up. If the fire department, annual fire department grant is up in October, and you know it's going to be somewhere in the 20K zone, you should have a folder with a particular project ready to go. Doesn't mean you're going to get it. But since I've been here, the 9 months I've been here, I personally have scrambled to put together a grant packet to get things in the day before a grant closed on it, because it just suddenly popped up. So I think there are some times where it happened twice, if it's Eleni or Honig calling up and saying, hey, there's extra money.
Sometimes, here's my folder. Sometimes it's extra money, but sometimes it's just the fact that, I mean,
it's
I think
cycle.
quite quite frankly, we as a town, for a couple decades, had Republican legislators at both levels in a Democratic state. Or for, you know, for at least 15 years, right? And as a result, we didn't get state bonding money because it wasn't handed out to legislator to other party legislators. Mm-hmm. The second, the one of the awards rewards that the state, you know, legislature gives to a new legislator who flips a seat is they put them on revenue and bonding in their first session. It just, that's what happens.
Magically happens. Yeah.
So Eleni got on her first time, and she got goodies for Canton and Avon.
Yeah.
And she really did. She got us the extension of the rail trail. She got us the police communications console. She got Avon a couple big things. And it was because she'd flipped the seat, and they wanted her to be able to hold on to it. Paul was in the same situation this year. He flipped the seat, they put him on a revenue and bonding, and they wanted him to be able to bring things home to the district to show that he'd done a good job. So again, we're in for you know, for his first session until he gets reelected, we've got someone who both wants to do well for us, he cares.
And he has some influence.
But also he's he's got pull because he flipped the seat.
Yeah, that's good
and,
to know.
We should make the most of it.
Can I ask you a question? So at the last place where you had somebody specifically doing grant, I mean, is that the problem? I think generally in the town is we keep cutting back staff and expecting somebody else
accepting
to
more.
Everything.
Yes, right.
Or, you know, like Tom Richardson, I think, is my most acute example. The guy's wearing
amazing.
Great guy. Wearing way too many hats. Like, there's just not a person that can do
not enough hours in a day to do
that. Yeah, and, I mean, just to even grasp everything that he has to be on top of. But is there, like, get sidetracked, but is there, like, is that a position that we should be hiring for? I mean, if it costs $100,000 to have somebody, and they brought in $200,000, and that's it, they brought $200,000 in bonding, like, or it, grants, it's worth it.
It would certainly be something to explore. And if there's other avenues, if we could get someone that's adept at it, who's potentially retired, but we can get part-time.
Or a consultant.
Or a consultant. There's a couple of other things, but I know, I think we all know, we're potentially leaving some money on the table because, like Tommy and I put together one very quickly to get some enhancement at the transfer station.
Mm-hmm.
And it had gone through a cycle. Everyone got denied, whether the applications were not that good or not. But we had 24 hours to
tweak it. Styrofoam?
The styrofoam thing. And then we threw in just some random stuff in there. And I think I know who the grant administrator for the state was on that. And I sent them, like, oh, this is a Hail Mary.
Right.
I needed to get it in. Your deadline was midnight today, and I had a few hours to do it. I don't think that's just good business. Maybe they pull it from a hat and you win, but I think it needs to be maybe a little bit of a better approach.
Right. Like, you shouldn't be doing that either.
I mean, exactly. That's
no, there's nobody else.
But I'm just trying to get our operations squared away first before we can go in for it. We've got needs. And that's kind of a want. We're doing okay now, but I think that we're leaving money on the table.
Yeah, no, and that maybe the consultant is the best operation. Instead of creating a position that doesn't, if you hired a consultant for a year and they did it, great, they paid for themselves, it didn't cost us anything.
Right.
If they don't do it, then we're not obligated to keep the person.
Right.
Or if they're not doing anything
after 6 months, it could be 3 months. I don't know what the time frame would be.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's way too much work for you.
And Neil, I mean, right, like Tommy's overworked, Neil's overworked, everybody's.
It's a skill.
Okay. Yeah, right, exactly.
Writing is a skill. It's just not I showed up and I'm going to throw some words on paper. They don't do it in a lottery system.
It makes it easier for you if you're not worried about filling out the paperwork to step back and look at what do I actually need to give that person. Like, this is the project I want. Not, this is the project I want, and I have to fill out all the paperwork by midnight.
Right.
there's a lot of that going on sometimes. But we digress. But it would be great, and I think we will look at that potentially.
I've been thinking about that a lot on the Board of Ed. It seems like we should be applying for grants for more stuff, but there's no way that John Bishop or Jordan Grossman has any time to do any. I don't even understand how they have the time to do
what they do
now.
We typically put in for the ones we know that we're going to get. Usually it is kind of like you just fill out the form, you submit it, and you'll get some money. That's usually what the LOSIP is or something like that. We've gotten some money, you know,
Bill. We've never really done the STEEP grants over the years.
STEEP grants as well, and those are somewhat seasonal, and we'll try to get them in. I think LOSIP, January or February, and you put your requests in that time frame. No real major skill in, you just submit it.
Yeah, the LOSIP we typically always put into the road maintenance.
And road maintenance, and that's gone down in the past few years. Mm. But you still put in for it. Even 10 grand, if it's a grant for 10 grand, we've done that.
Yeah, it's something.
It's something.
Buys a little more asphalt.
A little bit.
So if we have, from the CIP section, we have the three categories. And I might say it incorrectly.
Yeah.
We have operating, we have the CIP budget, and then we have bonding. My two comments are, it would be nice if, because the town's got such a, the town or the selectman side's got a big number sheet and the Board of Ed's got a big number sheet, if we came up with one form, which I think we did a much better job this year than the previous year, so everybody's working off the same thing, same color code or whatever it is, so it's easy to see.
And New Britain uses a standardized form that all the department heads who are compiling their projects use, rather than just kind of a Word document I love standardization because then you could say, well, what's this, what's that,
right? And it makes it easier for somebody like myself that's really digesting it in a 1 hour meeting, as opposed to you working for 3 months on it coming into the 1 hour.
You have actually all seen that we're changing that. You've all seen the forms that we had. It's just some words. So I will pull that form out, I think, as we develop the policy, having that. And those are things that you keep. And if that project doesn't go anywhere, then the next year, is that still a viable project? Does that move to the front of the list?
And so if you get us that form too,
I will
show it to the board.
I saw that while I was looking at some policies, and I really liked having that. And it's standardized.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then I guess maybe even on that form, if we could have some kind of like a checklist for a capital improvement project, whether it's buying a new truck or building a new school, you know, you start to talk, is it over $25,000?
Right.
Is it bondable? Have we looked for the bond? Is this a 10-year project? Does it have to happen this year? And you just go through,
like,
bam, boom, 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 through that checklist. And then all of a sudden, each one of those forms becomes red, yellow, or green.
Yep.
And it just goes,
because
I feel like when we go to the CIP meeting, we go in, we're like, okay, well, this year everything under 25,000. Then it kind of throws us for a loop. Like, does this really have to happen this year? Is this, or on the checklist, is this a capital reserve expenditure and not an actual project? Because, even on the Board of Ed, I've been looking at the HVAC improvements for the first 2 years. I was like, didn't we just do that last year? I couldn't even tell that it was a reserve on our own internal list.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if we got a standardized form for everybody to fill out, then we could take that standardized form and dump it into one spreadsheet. So it's not your spreadsheet and then the Board of Ed spreadsheet.
Yep.
It's one spreadsheet.
I like that.
I'm going to send it to everyone after.
I like
we
what
we
you
leave.
Just said about the checklist.
Yep.
I almost want you to say it again, so more slowly, so we can write it down.
Okay, we're taping it.
Okay, that's right. Okay, so perfect.
I will send out the New Britain.
Yeah, and what you're saying about, like, this is capital reserve, so it goes
and
here.
And that hits it hits that. Sir, if you check off, I mean, the simple, stupid questions like, is it under $25,000? No, or yes, it is. Then boom, it goes right into that pile.
Goes back into.
Is it over 25? So now it's either going to be bonded or out of the capital improvement.
Well, it might be out of. It still might be out of operating CIP.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
now
exactly.
It just gets to. Now it could split again. Is this like? And I don't know what the actual thing is. Is this something that's like a
a long-term capital project, like we were talking about. Is this a road that's going to last 30 years? Well, if it's that, then it should probably go towards the bonding side, where it's a long-term payment.
Yeah.
Or is this a refrigerator at the school that should come out of CIP?
Yeah.
Which would be a very expensive refrigerator. But, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I love that.
So then it takes kind of the decision-making out of it. So when there's different people on the CIP board next year, this is how we do it. We're not your opinion in an hour while you're trying to digest.
Big time. That is the standardization.
And then you take that form and it becomes part of your policy.
Rather than just, it seems like just reinventing the wheel.
Right.
It's tedious.
Right.
What did we do last time? Well, nobody can remember. Right. Oh, wait. Right. We think digging through stuff. No, that's not a good way.
Right. Plus, if you leave, or if you, you know, someday, if you leave.
Well, someday,
you don't. No, you don't.
But you know what I mean? Like the transition that you had to take over, it was just like, here's all the crap on my desk.
Well, policies would have been really great, especially going into right off the bat budgeting with new people or no people.
Right. Yeah. Like a policy.
I was just going to say, I've been working on trying to clean up CIP and trying to have even department heads understand it. Like Neil reached out to me and he wanted to know if he had funds that he thought he had, but he didn't. So even on the website, like when you look at the budget, even for this year, we planned what's posted, all of the projects that we posted on the website add up to like $2.5 million. But what we actually budgeted for CIP was like $900,000.
Yeah.
And so there's a amount.
So poor guy thinks he has money and it doesn't exist.
So I was like, actually, yes, that $20,000 is posted on the CIP spreadsheet that's posted on the website. But when it came down to it, it didn't make it into the $900,000 that we budgeted.
Right.
So then we kind of had to work from that and kind of consolidate it into the $900,000. So on top of what you guys are saying, what's posted should tie
be true
to the CIP budget. Because it's really confusing right
now. And you should do your, and I think what New Britain does is they do their approved CIP for that fiscal year. Rather than having artifacts that accumulate as you're going through, well, here's the town manager program, here's the board of selectmen, things are getting whittled out. Then here's the board of finance. Well, here's the one that showed up at referendum. Sometimes you're looking at maybe four
different things.
Different things. And if you go, hey, the town manager one, there's $2.5 million worth of projects. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, we knew going into that. That wasn't
passed.
Even going to be the cut. Right. And what we should do is there should be a winnowing process. Maybe at the CIP meeting so that the town manager or the CAO is not bringing $2.5 million in projects. I don't know how that works, but the New Britain one, it's just a CIP book. And if you look at that fiscal year, it's what's going on. But I think in the back of it, they have, using those forms, here's what was presented these days, make the cut. But it does get confusing.
But in their book and everything, you can see like 5 years out.
They do, they do project for their five-year plan. I think it might even be longer than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will throw that out. When I talked to the town manager in Granby, I guess their charter says 5 years, but they actually do 10 years.
I mean, five years is a minimum.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think some of them do 10.
You know, we can talk about, I guess one thing to talk about is, like, if we're proposing something, do we want to propose 5? Because otherwise people would be too intimidated, or do we want to go ahead and say, you know, ideally we're actually doing 10.
I think you should do 10. I mean, obviously the 5-year time horizon is going to be more accurate and the 10 is going to change, fluctuate year to year.
Right.
But I think if we're looking at recurring bonding every 2 years, you can't just go 5 years.
Right.
Got to go 10 to see where we're at.
Yeah.
No, I'd be comfortable making a recommendation for 10 years.
Yeah, I'd like 10.
Yay.
And then this, I guess, probably more so from Mark, but as part of the policy, there should probably be like a standard operating procedure for the people putting these together, because it's not going to be the CIP putting this checklist sheet together. It's going to be Tom Richardson or Jordan Grossman. Like, this is the standard operating procedure. If you want something into the CIP or a
teacher. So if something mm-hmm. has to get in there, you got to follow this form, and this is how you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Which the checklist would kind of outline.
That would
maybe.
Yeah, maybe that would.
Yeah, maybe it would say,
How do you pass this up the chain?
How do you pass this up the chain? And for the CIP board, like, you have to review these mm-hmm. based on priority.
I think it's standard that, like, there's a CIP committee and that employees are part of it. Mm-hmm. So, like, Tom Richardson, Jordan, Glenn, they would be on the CIP committee yeah. and they would meet quarterly and they kind of discuss what the projects are that are going to come out of that CIP budget. So, like, okay, what do you need? What do you
right.
need? Is this...
So, would you have... Would you, I mean, I think one of the things that we should also be suggesting is the composition of the CIP committee. And one of the things that has been a concern to me is the fact that the Board of Finance is not formally represented on the CIP committee. And I think one right. of the things we need to
this past year when you sat on it.
Yeah, one of the things we need to make as a recommendation is that the CIP committee itself change, right? Like, we need to add formal representation of the Board of Finance on the CIP committee. Mm-hmm. But your point is also really well taken. Should there also be either formal representation of department heads on it, or is there another department head committee that meets, you know, a certain number of times a year to put something together that then comes to the elected members?
I don't know if there is.
I mean, I don't know. I'm saying, like, which of those models makes more sense to you? Would you say...
So I would say that the CIP committee should be made up of town employees, because then... what gets decided on there is going to elected officials anyways.
See, I guess I like the idea of, I think we should expand the CIP committee again to have mm-hmm. representation from the Board of Finance. So right now, the committee has always been 2 members of the Board of Selectmen, 2 members of the Board of Ed. And all the other, the CAO and, you know.
Department heads
and everything have been staff to us. But I guess I like the idea of the staff meeting, again, during the course of the year to prepare the needs. But then I guess I'd like to still see the CIP committee be, let's say, you know, 2 selectmen, 2 board of ed, and maybe 2 board of finance.
I think that's what it should be.
Yeah.
I agree.
And we're relying on your guys' expertise.
And absolutely.
And then the staff still
And
comes.
Then staff. Yeah. I mean, so you have, like, it was great having Tom Richardson there, because that was a big chunk of it.
Yeah, I mean, he had stuff right off the top of his head. And
it's complicated, some of the things he does. For some department heads, I'll use IT, because it's relatively simple for someone who doesn't work in or to grasp what they do. For their CIP, it's usually just going to be hardware.
Yep.
It's an investment in hardware, where we came up with a leasing plan, like we talked about. So we're migrating to leasing. So, but say, for example, they needed a new land system, and that met whatever the requirements are that we come up with. I wouldn't necessarily need him to go to or be a member on board to say, I need, he could just, hey, this is what you presented in your packet using the format we've done. You said we need it, and here's the why. Everything's going to implode, and it won't work anymore, and we need one. Here's the cost. Come in and just give your rationale, and then we talk amongst ourselves. So it was good having Tommy there, but I don't necessarily know if even he has to be a member or even staff it.
But like the membership of the board, I guess the voting membership
voting
of the board
membership would
just
be
2-2-2-2.
But
everybody can bring, every 2-2-2 can bring whoever you would like to present. Like, I couldn't present a tenth of as good as Jordan could on the specifics.
Right. Yeah.
But I can vote. I would like you guys to hear what Jordan has to say. Because
right.
I couldn't reiterate it, even if we sat together for
completely.
And then Tom comes and explains everything that you have to do. And if the IT guy has a big a big part of your budget that year. He comes in. You just bring in who you want to answer the questions for the CIB.
That's the way I would do it. I like one, and they're the subject matter experts in their field.
Yep.
Rather than me try to regurgitate a summary of what they told me, it's just as easy for me to bring them in to answer any questions. So that's a little bit different than the way it was done before. Also, during, and we're going to start our budgeting season early than we've ever done it before. Last year was my first one, and I saw things that actually don't work. For the department heads bringing their CIP projects, most of it was, here's the stuff I've been asking for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. I have no expectation of getting it,
right.
But they always told me to hand in my form, so here you go. So it was kind of like a lesson in futility.
Right.
Like, well, okay, and you're probably right. It's probably not going to happen based on what we've seen before. Well, now we're taking a different approach on that as well. So there may be some discussions of the needs as opposed to wants. And I might bring those forward in the first few sessions of the CIP meeting that we already know is going to have better representation on it from the regulatory boards. And more of them. Charter says one, and that's what they were doing. Well, that doesn't do anything. So that's the way I could foresee it, at least from the administrative, the early administrative portion of it, is to compile some of those and then bring those forward.
Yeah.
And if they're not going to go anywhere, take them out of the process so they're not confused.
I'd almost like suggest, again, off the top of my head, if we're doing a form for us that creates a hierarchy just by going through the form, that could be done at the department levels too, before it even comes to us.
Right.
You know, like you could go to, and I keep using Tom because it's an easy one, Tom Richardson, and he could have 100 projects out.
Yeah.
He fills out 100 forms, and then you guys run it through like a mini CIP, like these are the priorities, so I'm only going to bring 10 of these up to the next level.
I don't need to bring $5 million worth of stuff.
He doesn't have to get rid of the forms. Right. He already has it created, and it's there, sitting there for next year. He doesn't have to recreate it next year. It could sit at the zero priority level.
Right.
And it's never going to get done, but it's created, and it's sitting on a list, and then each department can check their priorities before coming to everybody else and trying to explain 100 different items.
Absolutely. It takes a lot of time to do that. We spend a lot of time on the needs, wants, assign it a number, 1, 2, 3, and priority. We wasted a couple of meetings just doing that.
Yeah,
it's like that priority should already be set for each
department.
Yeah.
In the same standard method.
I did pull up New Britain's. I was going to make a quick copy of it. It has 251 pages. That's their capital improvement program. Most of it, it's the bulk of it's the first 30 pages. The rest is all of the requests.
Right.
And they do, that's a 1 year, and then they go 5 years, but then there's stuff they actually, and then there's probably a process in there is, if you don't get it this year, does it move up? I don't know how that gets categorized, because listening to department heads, I've asked for it for 10 years in a row.
Right.
And I've never gotten it. And now it doesn't even remotely work.
No.
Right.
Can you email that to us?
I will.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It does have the forms and things. Yeah. So I want to use something like that rather than the way I got it, and there's going to be a little bit of a change in the format for what gets presented this year in the budget anyway.
You bring up a good point, is what happens when, we can't fund it? It's a high priority. We can't fund it this year. How does that rollover process go? Mm-hmm.
Right. Does something that is top priority for a particular department but didn't get funded this year because there was something top priority in another department that was determined to be more urgent, the roof is leaking, whatever.
Yeah.
Does somehow the department that didn't get their top priority thing, do they get moved up the list next time? Or
maybe that would be kind of like
automatic.
Like if X project didn't get approved, but it was a top priority this year, it automatically goes on the top of the list to be looked at more closely, but the department still has to look at it and say, is this still a top priority, or is something trumped
something in? Else is trumped.
So like just move it to the top of the pile, so we look at it first, but the department individually
still
should
has
make
to
that
say
decision.
Do we still need that,
do we still need it, or did something else, it still isn't going to get done because this is our top priority now.
Right.
And I think a case in point was the SCBA equipment for the fire department.
Right.
I mean, this has been, they've been talking about it for a long time, but as soon as I showed up, they're like, well, it's not going to work anymore.
Right.
All right, is that true, or is it not?
We started to put a little money each year in the CIP. We did it for 1 year, I think.
40 grand we put aside. Yeah. We're going to do it every year.
Yeah, and
so
then we
your
stopped.
Point earlier, Katie, was if we're going to put the money in, then that has to...
It has to be a requirement.
That has to be a requirement. So literally, instead of starting your budget at zero, say that was the only thing we were funding, well, your budget started at 40, because you're putting 40 into the SCBA account for replacement 10 years.
So there's really four categories. Operating, which is under 25 grand right now. The CIP budget, bonding, or reserve.
And capital reserve. Capital reserve is like a strict...
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess it goes in the opposite order. Capital reserve.
And then bonding.
Then CIP and then bonding.
Okay.
I don't
know what the order is.
But there's four categories of where those dollars are coming for.
Yeah.
And can you tuck those, the capital reserve, can you tuck those into stiff accounts?
Yeah, because, so right now we've only really done that with, like I said, that I know of, fire trucks, ambulance, field maintenance. I'm trying to think if there's any other one that we've been putting aside money every year like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's my personal opinion that I don't like a capital reserve if we're having a bonding committee and we can get it done. I think we have to for a short term, but eventually that capital reserve should kind of go away.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems like towns, I'll do it. Yeah.
It just seems like even like money in.
Even Simsbury, which has the every 2 year bonding,
still does. That was just a personal.
Thing.
That was
just a personal gaining interest on it, rather than spending. You're gaining interest rather than paying.
But it's
interest.
Pretty low interest,
right.
Isn't it? Like you're paying both sides, the bond and the earned interest.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think are both pretty low because they're probably investing in bonds.
Sometimes pay their debt service with their capital reserve too.
Right.
Which makes sense, which is basically the same thing.
So
it
like
would be that would
year,
be like a transition period where you have a capital reserve and then you end up bonding the project.
Yes,
you
and if you didn't budget for that bonding cycle, then you use the capital reserve
to cover your debt service.
The 2 or 3 months that you didn't budget for.
Mm-hmm.
That was just I shouldn't.
Yeah, no, I'm that, no, it's that. I'm not saying we don't go in that direction. Maybe that makes sense.
I think in the future.
That
would be like a 5 years from now in our bonding cycle.
And we revisit this. And it's all, it's all working. It's all going smoothly. Right. And then we say, okay, it turns out we don't need to do capital reserves because now we have such a regular bonding cycle.
Right.
And we know what goes in bonding. Then maybe we don't need it anymore. But I think for now... It's hard. The reason I would maybe keep it is that what we were talking about for bonding is the things with really long life. And saying something has to last at least 25 or 30 years for us to bond for it. And some of these things like fire trucks maybe don't have that lifespan. Or other things where... It's a bigger expense than we can afford to put in a single annual budget, but it also doesn't have that 25 to 30 year life in
which
it.
Which would be the SBA.
Which would be exactly like the air packs.
It doesn't last that long.
It's exactly like the ambulances or fire trucks. It's kind of in that in-betweeny range.
So I agree with you 100%. Completely shifting. Can I back up for a second? Just say, so what? And this is gonna be a silly question, but like, what are we supposed to, the five of us supposed to produce to go back to CIP? Are we
policy?
We're supposed to put the whole policy together.
Yeah. Put together a policy. That's the primary mission.
Primary mission is a policy for the policy
to
for
to
determining
the,
CIP the items and for for bonding.
Yeah, it's really going to be, it's going to be our quote-unquote Bible on how we're going to go through our bonding process. So
so we're really
the end result here should be whether you pick one of the policies that Katie provided to say, hey, Simsbury's looks cool, we'll use that, or a piece of Simsbury, a piece of Granby's, our own flavor into that, send that to the Board of Selectmen, to the Board of Finance, however way that goes. That gets voted on, and that is now our new operating procedure. So when we go to bonding, we're going to follow that.
Okay. Right. And I think there are some other, like, some pieces, like what I was sending you were only parts of that, and I think those are the kind of background pieces that I actually think the Board of Finance should pass, like, kind of a little bit independently of this project.
Yeah, I
think charter-wise, you're supposed to set regulations.
So we should be setting the debt service policy at the Board of Finance. We should be setting an unassigned fund balance policy and possibly the capital reserve policy. So those are things that actually Sarah Faulkner and I have agreed to work on and try to get Board of Finance to vote on in September if possible.
Oh, nice.
We'll see. There's a lot going on. But ideally. But those are kind of like, those are supporting policies to this CIP policy that this group is doing.
So then we really need a CIP policy that determines whether it falls into one of those four categories. And then a bonding policy.
And a bonding policy.
Which would kind of be like, if you got to if it falls into the bonding category, then it has to do this sort of deal.
And do we not have any CIP policy currently?
None that anyone can find or remember.
I don't think so.
Not formalized.
I mean, we changed the policy this year when we went from $10,000 to the $25,000 as the minimum.
But that was more a procedure than a policy.
Right.
It was just a kind of tradition rather than a written down policy.
Right. Then my next question is, so we need, this committee needs basically a CIP policy, which we weren't really assigned to do, but you can't do the bonding policy seems pretty straightforward. Like, you just come up with the criteria. Is it going to last 20 years? Is it over X? Is it whatever? So are we going to write the bonding, the CIP policy? If so, how does that actually...
Well, I think we've come up with a lot of good suggestions.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we've just, like Paul said today, I think it's sort of condensing that into...
A list.
A list or a couple paragraphs that basically spells out this discussion.
Yep.
And so I would say that CIP policy, we should have the debt policy and the fund balance policy approved before we have our bond reading call.
Right, because he said having unassigned fund balance policy, debt service policy, makes you look better to the
bond. So we should have those approved before the call that we have with the bond reading.
So
you'll be doing one in August?
Yeah, I was going to say, is that going to give us enough time if we're still looking at doing the bonding?
So when are we?
Later in the
year. Well, if we don't go to referendum until November, then we wouldn't. It wouldn't be until after that, right?
Yeah. So you're,
So sometime in December.
Yeah, so we should have, like, that should be not a problem, because I think, we'll see. This is the time to get Sarah, because she's not teaching right now.
She's not teaching right now.
And she's actually a really fast writer. It's great. Like, I'll be, I take time to write. I have to sit, whatever. And, like, Sarah, you're just like, you're talking to her, and she's sitting here typing while you're talking to her, and then she's like, how about this? And you're like, what?
Yeah, I wish I could do that.
How did you do that?
No, that's not
me. Well,
but we were talking about presenting our, like, to give the Board of Finance a chance to think about it. We were talking about having a draft prepared in August for that meeting, and then having a vote taken on it in September.
Okay.
ideally.
Well, and I wouldn't be afraid too. I mean, I've kind of scanned some of the policies that you've given us so far. I wouldn't be afraid to take some of those almost verbatim.
Oh yeah. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. Yeah, if somebody's done it, I think we should look at them, see what we think looks good, and just say, copy paste, man. Sure.
My only concern with that, again, though, is pick a town that's fairly close to us demographically. I don't want to see us, adopt Greenwich's.
No.
Fairfield's policy or something.
Well, and consistent with what we've been doing. I mean, one of the things that, some towns have, like the range, one document I came across yesterday also was a review by, I don't know if it was OPM or some state office that was looking at what the debt service policies across towns were. Mm-hmm. And it said, towns vary in what they set as the debt service to budget number, and the unassigned fund balance. It wasn't debt service, it was unassigned fund balance. They said, there are towns that have unassigned fund balance levels set, at 1, and towns that have it set at 34% of budget. And we've always been we have to be between 15 and 17 and we must not go below 15. Well, the first town I looked at, theirs was set at 11, and I was like, oh, how could they do that? We're so short, and I'm not interested, even if there are other towns our size that do 11, if what the bond agencies say is that it should be at least 15 and at least 2 months,
to keep us at our AAA.
To keep us at AAA, I'm not going down to 11. I'm not going down to 9, even if other towns like us are down there.
Right.
I think it should definitely be at least 15.
Yeah.
And then, part of that policy will be how we handle if it drops below. And then there should definitely also be a cap, maybe 18. So that if it ever gets above 18, then we can put those funds elsewhere, for example, the self-insurance fund that needs help.
Well, the other thing is the first town I looked at also had a policy about its self-insurance fund and what it needed to be maintained at.
Yes, we're doing that.
Yeah.
Our insurance committee.
We've created a bunch of new committees.
Just for our takeaway from today. So we...
I love how, poor Russell, you do such a good job. We go, woo, and you're let's bring this back to the...
He's feeling us in.
That's just my phone is wrong.
I know, it's awesome. I love it.
So just take away. So we're going to get, our group will get a list of, the suggestions that you started off with. Yeah. We'll just circulate that maybe and pass it and then come up with a final list.
Yep.
You're going to do the three policies you just talked about?
We're going to be working on those for the Board of Finance. Okay. I can't promise that I'll have them in time for our group to I'd like us to be able, our group to say, yes, we support. I'd like our group to formally tell the Board of Selectmen that the Board of Finance is going to be developing a debt service policy, an unassigned fund balance policy, and... perhaps, if we think this is a good idea, a capital reserve policy, and that those things are within the purview of the Board of Finance, and they're going to be doing it, but that this committee supports them, and the reason we support them is that we've been told that it's good for our bond rating.
Right.
Yeah.
So, we could circulate and come up with a list for our next meeting to agree, in the next 2 weeks, bounce back and forth at this idea, maybe tweak that one and approve that list. Then after we come up with those 10 bullet points, then we could take a capital improvement plan, whether it's an outline from somebody else like New Britain, after we read that and be like, oh, yep, our 10 points are in here, or we covered it, we got to tweak this paragraph, this page, and create that policy so we
can submit that.
So we get our 10.
We've done our work.
Our 10. We get our 10 commandments, and then from that, we could build a capital improvement policy.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think for the bonding policy, which is the other part of our job, we need that spreadsheet from our bond consultant. So that's, remember when we were talking to him and he was like, oh yeah, no problem. I can present you with those scenarios. It'll be this spreadsheet. It'll allow you to tell, like, if you want to keep a constant debt service level of X, here's how much you could bond for every 2 years, that kind of thing, that, mm-hmm. that we could have a wonderful, you know, plug in, see how it affects everything kind of spreadsheet that we could look at. Mm-hmm. I would love to have you poke him, bug him a little, because yeah. It would be great to get that.
All right.
And, you know, soon. Because we can't really start giving the Board of Selectmen guidance on how much they can bond for until we can play with those numbers a little bit. And, you know, Mark's right that we can try to back of the envelope it ourselves, but I would love to just
have the number.
Yeah.
He asked me for some of the like demographic information, which I know they used to create that spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
So we're probably going to get it in the next day or so. But I also had that same spreadsheet from South Windsor, and I just like zeroed out their numbers and entered our potential numbers.
Oh, cool.
So this spreadsheet kind of shows like if we bonded, and you can change the amount. So if we bonded like $6 million. It would bring our debt ratio, so the percentage of our debt service to
budget.
Total operating expenditures, it would only go to 4.52%.
Mm-hmm.
And it's currently at 4%.
But that's if we do it, if we do $6 million once, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that would work.
And what we want is a model that shows us over time how much could we
bond for every
2 years.
Okay.
You know, cumulative, because we know that, you know, debt service obviously goes out over time, but it also generally declines very slowly over time, like mm-hmm. the payments go down with each issuance. So what, you know, $6 million now might be fine because it would only get us up to 4.5. But would $6 million this year and $6 million in 2 years and $6 million in 2 years, how would that affect it? And if we want to, if our goal is to keep a constant level of debt service as mm-hmm. part of our budget, then what's the effect of different bonding levels?
Yeah. So this, you can enter like different amounts per year.
Yeah.
So I would just have to, because it's like an active worksheet. So
yeah.
You just go in and alter that.
Yeah. So if you want to do that on your worksheet,
yeah.
Or have him do it with all the information that you've given him, you know, mm-hmm. to present us with one, that would be awesome.
Okay.
Because for this next bonding, I mean, we have been talking about in the range of like $4 million, $4.5 million.
Right. That's
like
where
that.
We were.
We're at $9 million now.
Yeah. Well.
Get out of here.
Get out.
Might as well make 10.
Right. Yeah, probably not say David's.
Why would you? Yeah.
So I'm not trying to rush anybody, but I do have to run out of here in a minute. Like, yeah. So can we? Is that like a good goal for like our next meeting?
Yeah.
We'll circulate our suggestions for CIP.
Okay.
And then I don't know, Mark. Are you comfortable with kind of putting that into
a document?
Summary, maybe.
Yeah. We can work on something and get that in there.
And then just email it out to everybody.
Yeah.
Maybe with that New Britain Capital Improvement Plan.
Yeah.
And then we'll reconvene and lock down the
CIP.
The CIP points. Yeah. And then from there, I think it'd be pretty easy to do a CIP plan, which can be the biggest one.
Right.
The bonding one, I think, is going to be relatively easy, but we need your three things first.
Yeah.
And the information from them.
Yeah. And yeah, we'll break this out into smaller.
Yeah.
Something 250 pages.
I can't digest 250.
Well, I think that's
make it smaller with the good with the highlights.
Unless it's like an audiobook, I can't digest it.
Me too.
Right.
Even
all right.
All right. So we'll want to try and meet in about 2 more weeks.
Yeah, maybe a week and a half to get back on our Tuesday.
See, I don't know what the.
Let me get my
I'm away August 1st through 10th. And I don't know how that works in terms of when is what is what.
Today is the 17th. 2 weeks would be the 31st.
Yep.
I'm free on the 31st. Exceptionally free on the 31st.
Yep, I am too.
I could do that.
Okay, so what day are we looking at?
10 a.m. 31st. Or 9 a.m. It was 10, right?
Yep.
On 31st.
Yep. Yeah, 10 again.
Okay. And I will schedule everything and send all this stuff out.
Awesome.
In the same format.
Anything else we missed or anything else we want to think about between now and the 31st? If that's it, I would take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Meeting is adjourned at 11:05.
Well done.